Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, just bring you a nugget of news from our Europe editor, Tony Connolly. So EU sources have denied this report, which you might have heard about. It's in the London Times. The EU and the UK, they claimed, had struck a deal on the Northern Ireland Protocol, which included significant concessions by Brussels on customs checks on goods moving from Great Britain to Northern Ireland and on the role of the European Court of Justice. One EU source, according to Tony, said it's not true. The Times reported that the deal marked a critical step towards ending the impasse over the Northern Ireland Protocol, but EU ambassadors were briefed by the European Commission this morning on the negotiations. They're underway and have been since last autumn. Now, according to one source, Tony says, this is nothing new. The talks are ongoing. Progress is being made, but there is no sign of anything imminent. And Tony goes on to say senior figures have told RTÉ in recent days that talks are continuing and that as of late last week, there was no sign of an imminent breakthrough. So next question is, who's telling the London Times that the deal has been done and that Brussels has given concessions? The British transfer record was smashed on football deadline day as an unprecedented January transfer window ended, with Premier League clubs having spent £2.8 billion during the entire 2022-23 season. Chelsea spent a record-breaking £107 million, or €121 million, for Benfica's Argentina midfielder Enzo Fernandez, taking the total expenditure by top flight clubs in January alone to €815 million. There were some Irish players on the move too, and we'll chat about that in a few minutes with Gavin Cooney of the42.ie. But first, to go through some of the fairly breathtaking figures, I'm joined on the line by football finance expert Ciarán Maguire. Ciarán, you're very welcome to the programme. What's your take on the amount of money and the fact that there are records being broken all over the place with the spend by these big Premier League clubs?
I think it's indicative of a few factors. First of all, we have new owners in the Premier League at Chelsea, at Bournemouth and at Newcastle, and they've all been very active in the transfer market. It's the equivalent of moving into a new house, and of course the first thing you want to do is to stamp your personality on it. And that's what we've seen in respect of many clubs. Secondly, we've got unprecedented levels of competition in the Premier League. Six clubs normally are competing for Champions League places. We've now got seven, with Newcastle added. Seven into four doesn't go, so therefore they're spending money to try to get those top four places. And at the bottom of the Premier League, we've got seven teams who are within 3 points of each other in terms of the relegation scrap. There's probably a €100 million drop if you get relegated, so therefore clubs are incentivised to spend money to sign that player who scores that one goal, that gets that one extra point that avoids relegation. So everybody's in it. Who thinks that spending more money is the solution to all of football's problems.
And you're involved in this British government effort to look at football governance. And one of the proposals there is this idea for a transfer solidarity levy. Is it expected that that would help level the playing field, Ciarán?
I think it will go partially to addressing some of the huge imbalances. And this has been one of the proposals of the initial report. Now, we don't know what's going to happen in terms of a white paper, and we don't know how that white paper is going to pass through Parliament. But the idea behind it is that for international transfers and for intra-Premier League transfers, there would be a transfer levy probably of around about 10%, and that money would go into grassroots football to try to reduce the cliff edges that exist between the Premier League, which is amazingly successful. Let's not criticise it for being successful, and the rest of football, which is trailing in its wake.
And you can see, if you just look at that one transfer, and I mentioned it at the start, the price paid by Chelsea for Enzo Fernandez, €121 million. 10% of that would be €12 million, which would be a very welcome boost for the lower level clubs.
You're absolutely right. And you multiply that by the amount of transfers that we're seeing taking place in the Premier League. The money will be delightfully received. But we then mustn't fall into the trap that has existed historically in football, is as soon as clubs receive more money, regardless of the level, they then tend to immediately put it on to higher wages. It's not necessarily going to improve facilities for fans, to increase the number of pitches that are available for people to play on at grassroots level, and so on. So I think it needs to be carefully dealt with, and a system of checks and balances to prevent a complete flow through would benefit the game overall.
Can we talk a little bit about Chelsea and their spending? Because they broke the British transfer record yesterday when they made that signing we've just been talking about. Now, people will question how that fits with the FIFA financial fair play. They're using this loophole, aren't they, to allow them to offer longer contracts?
Yes, I mean, some people call it a loophole, some people call it canny accounting. It depends upon which side of the fence you are. But what Chelsea have done is that they've signed players like Fernandes and Mudryk on 8.5-year contracts. And the way that accounting for football transfers operates is that if you sell a player, all of the profit on that deal, it goes into your accounts immediately. So you can show that as money coming in. But when you buy a player, it's spread over the life of the contract. So if we take that, you know, 115, 120 million euros over 8.5 years, it works out as around about 14 million euro a year that's hitting Chelsea's books. And because they've signed the player halfway through the contract, that 14 million now becomes 7 million because it's done on a monthly basis. So it won't really hurt Chelsea as far as their 22-23 accounts are concerned. The downside of such is that it locks the club in to a very long commitment in terms of A, this cost going out of the books, and B, you're paying the player a high level of wages for the next 8.5 years. So, you know, when I look at my diary, I've just inked in 30th of June 2031, Fernandes's contract expires, and you know, the level of uncertainty in the world is you know, very significant. If we go back 8.5 years, it's a very different world to where we were in 2015. So Chelsea are taking a huge gamble, and if it works, they'll have done extremely well. But what happens if the player turns out to be a bit rubbish? Mm-hmm. And then you've got to pay him all of this wages, and he's estimated to be on 120,000 euro a week. So yeah, that's a huge commitment over a long term.
It's extraordinary. I mean, no club would expect a player. It would be very unusual for a player to continue playing at the top level for 8 years.
Yes, I mean, certainly for one club, given the somewhat transient nature of professional football these days. But Chelsea, they see it as a potential benefit that when a player is in the last 18 months, the last year of their contract, their value in the transfer market tends to decrease, because when the contract expires, the player is allowed to move away for nothing in what's referred to as the Bosman ruling. So if Fernandes and Mudryk and these other players all turn out to be fantastic, then if in 2 or 3 years' time the likes of Barcelona, PSG or Real Madrid come in for the players, Chelsea will rightly be able to point, well, yeah, the contract's not due to expire until 2031. So you've got to give us a huge amount of compensation. So Chelsea think that they're locking in the value of the players. And if the players are good, that's great. Players aren't, and you know, we saw with Romelu Lukaku, who Chelsea bought for around about 110 million euro only a couple of years ago, that he's been out on loan because it hasn't worked out, and Chelsea is still having to pay a significant proportion of his wages, even though he's employed by another club.
Kieran Maguire, thank you very much. And I'm joined now by Gavin Cooney, who's sports writer with the 42.ie. So, Gavin, let's turn our attention to some of the Irish movers and that fairly surprising news about Matt Doherty, the Irish player who has been signed now for Atletico until the summer. It's a 6-month deal. Was that expected?
It kind of came out of the blue, Claire, to be honest. It was announced yesterday morning, it was reported yesterday morning that Doherty would be leaving Spurs to join Atletico on loan just until the end of the season, because Spurs were bringing another player called Pedro Porro into his position. But then late last night, Spurs announced that actually we've cancelled Matt Doherty's contract to allow him join Atletico. So Doherty is in Madrid now. It's a pretty cool move for him. He'll be there until the end of the season, but he won't be returning to Spurs at the end of it. They cancelled his contract because there's a rule in which clubs are no longer allowed to have more than 8 players out on loan. Spurs contrived to hit that limit earlier on in the day, and then late at night said, oh, we need to address this. So even though he had 18 months to run on his contract at Spurs, they cancelled it. So he won't be going back, but it's a super interesting move for him.
Yeah, huge, obviously a huge opportunity, but he has a short period of time now to make an impression.
Just, I think there's just 19 games left in the season for him to make an impression on Atletico under their firebrand manager Diego Simeone. So it will obviously be of keen interest to the Ireland manager Stephen Kenny, because yes, Doherty is one of his main guys. You know, the system that they play is partly set up in that way to bring the best out of Doherty. So it's, you know, it's new like Doherty is kind of cool, is a cool and calm and collected individual, but it is still a bit of an adjustment for him, and he has to hit the ground running there, because Ireland need him sharp and match fit for the Euro 2024 qualifiers, which kick off in March.
Now, what other news on the Irish transfer scenario? Shane Duffy is going to Fulham.
Yeah, so Duffy had been at Fulham since the start of the season on loan from Brighton. He was kind of a major figure in Brighton's modern history, really, having spent, 6 years there and helped them get promotion to the Premier League. He left to join Fulham on loan at the start of the season. Hasn't really got a look in, but that's been made permanent as well. And again, it comes down to one of these funky loan rules. So Fulham wanted to get a player in from Arsenal on loan called Cedric Suarez. There's a separate rule which says you can only have 2 players on loan from another English club at any one time. So they decided, okay, we'll get this guy in on loan and we'll just sign Duffy permanently until the end of the season. So as to whether Duffy will be there beyond the end of that contract, it's difficult to say, because he hasn't really got any game time at Fulham this season. So he's another one who, it's hard to see him being in the next Ireland squad just because he's played so little.
Michael Obafemi, Burnley had tried before to get their hands on him. They've succeeded this time.
Yeah, a bit of a mini saga around that one. Obafemi, we all know the impact he's had on the Ireland team since he came into it last year. Scored that brilliant goal at home to Scotland and has looked a real threat for Ireland. Had reignited his career at Swansea, but then we go all the way back to last summer, spied a great opportunity to join Burnley, who are headed for promotion. Didn't get that move at the time, fell out with his club and manager at Swansea as a result, but finally got his move at the end of January. And it's absolutely great move for him. He'll have 6 months or so to impress Vincent Kompany, the manager there, and like they're nailed on to go to the Premier League. So it's a pretty, he's to wait 6 months before stamping his return to the Premier League, but it's a good move for him.
You know how deadline day is normally very exciting and we have all of these last minute deals that we look forward to, but we heard a lot of the news now in the lead up to deadline day. Has the heat gone out of it?
Don't know. I think it's still as kind of frenzied as ever. Like, I mean, I have a kind of a grudging respect for the TV executives at Sky Sports who managed to turn human resources into like a television event, you know, and being people people sit down and follow it kind of frantically all day, and like the clubs and the players all get involved and so on. So I don't know. And you can just look at the sums of money, like Kieran obviously laid them out there a few minutes ago. Like the sums of money are absolutely crazy. Everyone is still involved. So I think that it's still as big a deal as ever, unfortunately, and in a kind of the utterly mad world of professional football.
We were talking to Kieran about this proposal to have a solidarity transfer fund where 10% of this money would go to the lower league clubs. Do you think that would be a good idea, Gavin?
Oh, it would be a great idea. You know what I mean? Not to advocate too much on radical politics, but sharing the wealth is a pretty good idea. You know, we were talking about, I remember being on talking about the Super League a couple of years ago. Everyone will remember that saga. Everyone else in Europe and even further down the leagues in England would believe that there is a Super League, and it's called the Premier League. So you can see the amounts of money being spent there dwarf everywhere else. Chelsea alone spent more than any of the other clubs in the 4 major leagues in Europe. So anything that shares the wealth would encourage competitive balance, which is important for the sport.
Gavin, thank you very much. That's Gavin Cooney from the 42.ie. Now it's just coming up to 11 o'clock. Let's go to the newsroom and to Helen Donahue.